welcome to the Pocket Gamer iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode number 125.
I don't believe you. I reckon you're making that up.
Did we definitely start
at 1? Didn't it like start at 51 or something? By mistake.
Well, I don't know. I joined like episode...
So no one knows.
No one knows.
You could have started. Okay, that makes more sense.
Anyway, with me is the doubtful John Jordan.
Jet lagged
and doubtful. And special guest star. I should put like a trumpet or like one of those old cop drama.
My still special guest star.
I don't know.
A raspberry. Can we do a rock? Bye, Keith. You're right.
Keith Andrew.
I'm better this week. I've got a beer this week, so we're fine.
Excellent.
It's so rotten.
He's been very good.
He's been very good this week.
Have you, John, have you been doing your normal jet lag cure this week, or have you decided against that this time?
I think, is this supposed to be some funny story about my normal jet lag cure that you're going to tell me about?
No, I just remember when you had that week-long jet lag last time.
Yeah. No, I've been to sleep for the last 2 days. I've woke up for about 4 hours in the last 2 days.
Whoa.
I'm not sure it cured anything, but I listened to the radio a lot. I learned a lot of news. That was good, I guess.
So a lot of this stuff is going to be new to you, I guess.
Yes. What happened? Oh, no.
All right, well, Keith, I'm going to expect you to say a lot.
Oh, dear.
All right, let's go straight on to the news.
News!
Okay, first up on the news this week. Should we do the Pocket Gamer news, first of all? Because you've got a couple of items that we can talk about. Yeah, let's do that.
Go on.
That's a good idea, Will. Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for the support. Right. So, first up on the news this week, we've got two new members of staff that joined us this week. We've got our new iOS editor, Damon Brown, who's joined us literally about a few days ago now. He's not with us on this podcast. I have sent out an email telling him of what the podcast normally consists of. So whether or not he'll still be at the company in 3 days' time. No. yes, so he's joined us. He's not only a well-respected US journalist, but he's also an author. Let's go through some of the places he contributed to. It's Playboy, EGM, GameSpot, Family Circle, The Source, Spin, New York Post, CNN, MSN, and more. And he's written a ton of books as well. He's a very experienced man. And alongside him, we've also got Chris Schilling joining us, who's doing news and iOS reviews and UK readers. Probably know him from such places like Eurogamer and...
He's been on everything.
He's been on loads of places, like magazines, websites, anything you can think of.
Not jealous.
Games TM.
Games TM, yep. He's ridden for a hell of a lot of people. So we've got two very experienced games journalists joining us this week.
Does that mean I can go to sleep for the rest of the week?
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
You can go to sleep for the rest of your life.
Oh, I've not opened that champagne you sent me.
Oh, damn. Okay, well, call me when you do, and then I'll say that line again.
how long after taking the first sip do I have to call you before I...
Call me before you take the first sip.
Oh, before, okay.
I want to save the moment. I want to hear the bubbles.
Well, you want to record it, obviously. Yeah,
obviously. Yeah. Okay. There'll be nothing to leave for the police if I don't. Yes, so we've got two excellent games journalists who have joined us this week, and obviously this means that my job is now in the firing line. No, not really.
No. you haven't got the letter I sent you.
No, I did get a letter. I threw it away. I did wonder why you didn't contact me about the podcast this week. It was a bit weird. I just called you two up randomly. anyway, yes, that's part of the Pocket Gaming news. But we've got more. There's more. Yes, there is more. because we've also set up an Order and Chaos Guild. Order and Chaos being Gameloft's new MMO, which is... I'm not even going to pretend it's not like World of Warcraft, because it's obviously trying to be like World of Warcraft. That's not such a bad thing, though, in this case, because World of Warcraft is the market leader in MMOs. So, you know, it makes sense. Yes, we've got a guild. Or more specifically, Anthony has a guild, because I don't think any of us have actually played it yet. Still. I am tempted to join, and if I do join, I will join the Pocket Gamer Guild. If you want to know how to join it, you've got to be on the European Stone Island server, and then you've got to talk to Anthony's character, who is called... Let me find his name. Dun-dun-dun-dun. His name is... What did he call himself? Anthony Usher. One word.
That's what he called himself, his name.
It's all one word.
Sneaky.
He's an elf as well. But anyway, Anthony Usher, that's all one word, lowercase, A-N-T-H-O-N-Y-U-S-H-E-R.
H.
H. Oh, are you correcting my pronunciation of H and H again?
No, I realised I just said that out loud. I meant to keep that in my head, actually.
You're H. A bastard. Yes, so Anthony Usher. So add him if you're on the Stone Island server. I will play this game at some point, but last time I played an MMO... Well, the last time I played an MMO, I was married. So let's end that there. That's true, but the MMO didn't actually lead to my divorce. She took the house, she took the kids, she took the dog. She didn't take my freedom.
Very personal podcast, this one, isn't it?
You're next, come on.
I need to talk to someone about it.
What's gaming ruined in your life?
Yes, so that's the Pocket Gamer news. I'm pretty sure you'll agree, that's pretty exciting stuff. Also, I'd like to point out that Anthony, who deals with all the community and social aspects on the site, as well as writing for us as well, he also gives out promo codes for new games and stuff on Facebook and Twitter occasionally. So if you join our Twitter or Facebook pages, or become a fan on Facebook, I don't know if that's still the case. I think you have to follow your company now. Anyway, if you do that, then you'll see updates, all the news updates, and also you'll see when we're doing some free promo offers. So yeah, keep an eye on that. Okay, talking of promo codes, Apple is clamping down on iTunes manipulation, apparently. I think this is just them trying to make another quick buck. But yes, they're doing it again. They're stopping anyone who uses a promo code leaving a review for a game.
Well, that's not, how does it not stopping a quick buck, is it?
Well, no, it's not stopping the quick buck. What I mean is that if you hand out a promo code and just for the purposes of getting a positive review, then you'd have to hand out quite a few promo codes too. Anyway.
They've obviously got a bee in their bonnet about...
Yes, about...
Gaming the App Store.
Yeah.
It makes sense, but they haven't told anyone, like they never do, so that's what...
It doesn't make sense. It's ridiculous.
I can see where they're coming from. I mean, I have no idea whether lots of people are doing this all the time or what, but I think it's more the fact that they do these things and then it's all discovered by these random rumours and stuff that they never actually say, oh, this is what we're doing, this is why.
But it's ridiculous. It's like there's a tiny amount of promo code. So it's clearly, in the vast majority of cases where a decent amount of downloads have been made, it has no effect at all.
So
all it does is, like, kind of, you know, I'm sure most people who get promo codes don't go and review stuff anyway, because the people who get them are generally people who are writing for websites. So if you've written a review for a website, I certainly don't go on in the App Store and then write another review. It doesn't really matter in the big scheme of things, but it's just I wrote a kind of blow up editorial about it like I normally do, but it's just Apple kind of just in a sense throwing their weight around, and I don't think it really matters in the big scheme of things, but I just think it's another little thing where it annoys developers. But it's just stupid, because there's so many big things Apple aren't doing, and they're just faffing around on these tiny little, it's kind of like the mite in your eye and the big plank in my eye, or the other way around, or whatever it goes.
I've never heard of that one.
Mate, I'm glad you said that. Me neither.
Biblical.
What's this? Planks? I've heard of walk.
No, it's a story about, it's a metaphor, parable, whatever. That the person who has like a little, someone goes around going, oh, you've got a little bit of thing in your eye, and they've got a big huge bit of wood in their eye. So you know, it's a that kind of reverse psychology of, I guess. What? For you, people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. I get.
Oh yeah, no, I know that one.
Not quite the same thing.
That's a good one.
People in really big glass houses shouldn't throw stones at people in little glass houses. I guess that would be.
Unless
sizing is a sizing.
Unless the little glass house contained a pig.
A pig.
And you threw birds.
Mm. Oh, I see what he's done there. Oh, he's being all topical and gamey.
I've gamed the system.
No, there's a ridiculous thing about gaming the system. I mean, the whole, you know, everything is in a sense that, you know, the whole thing with Apple allowing EA to release all its games for 99 cents and then putting a huge blooming banner ad on over Christmas. How's that not gaming the system? That's just Apple's official gaming the system. I mean, it's just. As Keith wrote an article.
I'm being quite restrained here.
It's just encouraging people to go. It will encourage people to go to Android.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when Microsoft and Nokia get their crap together, then you know, I think Apple will be at some point surprised because they've had it all their own way for so long, and suddenly you know they're always going to be the biggest chunk of the market for making money in terms of they're wherever they are. 180 million or whatever they've sold, and people will more like to spend money on, you know, because they'd be richer people. But they're definitely going to have some sort of comeuppance, I think. And that'd be good for developers. I think, you know, for developers, you need a whole bunch of systems to kind of play off against each other. Oh, rant over.
Rant over. Rant over.
Probably oncoming. I don't know.
Stand down. okay. A new regular slot that I created a few weeks ago. It's iPhone 5 rumor time. I still haven't made a tune for it. Anyway, imagine a tune. That's the Twilight Zone.
Why is that not a tune?
Well, yeah, but it's the Twilight Zone. It doesn't really fit.
Is it inappropriate?
It doesn't fit the mood, John.
What's the mood?
The mood is one of happiness.
Oh, okay.
Actually, no, I don't know what the mood is. More confusion. Oh, I guess than the Twilight Zone works. Okay, so the latest rumour is... Okay, whoa, hang on before I do that. Is it September or is it June? Let's see it. It is... Wait, I can't put the ding across if you're doing the Twilight Zone music. Okay, it's September still. So, yes, and the latest reports from AT&T, an AT&T representative, says that Apple has informed us that they do not plan to release the iPhone in the June to July time frame.
Well, they've said that officially, have they?
No. A company rep.
Company rep.
That emailed one of the readers of Mac Rumors.
Okay.
It's a rumor, John.
It's definitely a rumor, isn't it? Someone emailed Mac Rumors.
It's a rumor. Which means it must be true.
Can I email you next week something?
Yes. I'll pretend to be Steve Jobs.
You'll pretend to be Steve Jobs and I'll email you a rumour. How does that work?
Yes. I'll refute the rumour.
Because you're Steve Jobs.
Yes. This is how roleplay works, John.
I thought it involved dressing... Oh, no, here's something else.
Will knows exactly how roleplay works, but that's all I'm going to say.
Talking of roleplay, oh no, okay. I've done the Order and Chaos one. No, let's go on to EA.
EA.
Oh yeah.
It's in the game, or it's in the sport that we're simulating. That one would be more accurate, but it's not the phrase. EA have bought Firemint.
Well, Keith knows all about this.
I know all about this. I spent many hours putting up a nice little logo about it all. And then
so
I wrote
John,
something about
what do
it
you
well.
Think?
What do I think?
I'm just...
no, really. It makes complete sense, obviously. But I always bash on about with deals. It always pretty much boils down to how much anyone's paying. That's the only thing that really interests me. I mean, you know, if it's something like, you know, it's not a technology play. It's just like a publisher's bought a developer. Well, that always makes sense, because if you're a good developer, then a publisher will want to buy you. So the only thing that ever makes sense to me is how much money did you pay for them? And they seem to be, there's not been a figure given, has there, Keith? Or do you...
Well, they said today less than $25 million, yeah. Didn't they? Wasn't it?
Yeah, which seems ridiculously small amount of money. But the whole problem with these things is, it was like a quote where, you know, he'll say, he said something like, it's less than $25 million, it doesn't really mean anything. And, of course, that doesn't mean about earnouts and stuff. Because I would imagine with something like Firemint, you might not pay, $25 million sounds, I mean, it's quite a lot of money, but, you know, it sounds a reasonable amount. But obviously with them, you try and make them profitable as possible. And the people who own Firemint, you know, would want that kind of bonus. So
didn't Firemint recently buy their fellow Australians last year?
But the other thing is, often, you know, companies can sell for different reasons. I mean, sometimes, and it might, you know, I don't really know if this is the case with Firemint at all, because I've been asleep for the last 2 days. But you know, sometimes when you get to a big studio and Firemint were up to like maybe 50-60 people, then suddenly that becomes, you know, every month you have to pay salaries. So every month they're probably looking at, you know, it's, you know, be hundreds of thousands of over $100,000, potentially, you know, $150,000 a month just on salary. And it's really hard, unless you have lots of big hits, to be able to do that every month. So I think when some of those companies get to a certain size, the founders, unless they want to raise investment themselves, just go, we can sell for $25 million, which if they haven't got any other investors, or if they still own a big chunk of the company themselves, they can go, well, I'm suddenly a millionaire. It just makes everything kind of easier. Because suddenly, and I know, you know, a couple of years ago, you know, Firemint almost went bust. I mean, Real Racing just nearly killed them, and they just didn't have enough money to finish it. So, you know, running a company is not always, you know, a lovely thing. So it can be a scary thing as well. So that could be a good a reason as any. You don't sound very interested.
I'm reading ahead. I've got a plan ahead, you see. I already heard your reply in my mind. I'm 2 minutes ahead of the podcast.
But obviously it's interesting because, I mean, they have, you know, in terms of like Firemint work going into that racing thing. I mean, that's obviously brilliant for EA. Whether EA will, you presume, would they give them new Need for Speed, or would they, you know, how would they actually could potentially?
Firemint have worked on games for EA before.
They have, yeah, that's true.
So it's not It's not that. Sonny.
But I mean, I guess it's very similar in the sense that EA buying Criterion to do Burnout, and then take Burnout and run it with Need for Speed. So they could take Real Racing and run it, you know, with Need for Speed on iPhone.
That was slightly different though. Criterion had their own middleware.
No, it wasn't.
And they didn't use it, did they?
No one ever used it.
Oh, well, loads of people used it in PS2 days.
Before
EA bought them.
As
soon as EA bought them, that middleware was thrown away.
Yeah, shame. I liked Cryo. Yeah, it's Cryware, isn't it? Or something like that.
No.
I cry something.
Cryware.
Yeah, that was them guys. Which one was Criterion?
Renderware.
Yeah, of course. Anyway, enough about my idiocy. EA, another linked piece of news. EA may be releasing Mass Effect 3 and Battlefield 3 related games. I'm very cautious to say games.
No, they've said that, haven't they?
Have they?
Well, they've just announced their profits today.
Oh, okay.
They've announced. They have listed in their financial figures that they're doing Mass Effect 3 and what was the other one?
Battlefield 3.
Battlefield 3 and Mass Effect 2.
Mass Effect 3.
Oh, they're both threes. So they've announced they're doing that in the handheld section. They haven't specified any more. So I would imagine. It'll be either iOS or next gen.
Yeah, you see, I thought it would be NGP more than iOS.
Yeah.
Because they'll be both coming out around the same time as the speculated launch period for the NGP.
To be honest, Mass Effect was terrible, wasn't it, the first one?
Yeah, well, yeah, Mass Effect Galaxy.
Yeah.
You mean the actual Mass Effect one?
the one that was on iPhone.
Yeah, no, that was awful. But Battlefield wasn't too bad.
Was it?
No, that was alright. And of course Dead Space was quite good. So maybe, yeah. I don't know.
No, I mean, there's obviously the potential for that kind of stuff, and obviously Dead Space worked really well when they had the iOS stuff coming out at the same time as the sequel on the console. So
yes.
You know, I mean, it's always the problem, not the problem, but the potential for EA is always can they line up their big marketing budgets?
So
match. You know, so because at that point, obviously, you're spending like over $20 million on the console version. So that's, you know, will cross sell across everything. So you don't need to put any more money into the iOS market.
I mean, there's more value on doing it on iOS, I would have thought, than NGP.
No, I don't know. NGP.
If you're going to use it to kind of.
No, yeah, well, if it's a launch title. Across,
I don't think many people are going to buy NGP anyway, but I think there's more a la kind of Dead Space that it kind of builds a brand more if you're on iOS than it will if you're on NGP, where it will just be another one of them, you know, launch titles. Or.
Well, I don't know.
Well, I don't know. As a launch title, I think it'll have enough clout.
Mm. I think, the whole point of EA is they're big enough to do it all, aren't they? You know, it's not like they haven't got studios or they can't afford to get someone to do an iOS game even if they don't do it internally.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe Firemint are doing it.
Maybe. Ooh, that's a rumor. You heard it here first. Of racing-related developers, Red Lynx is coming back to mobiles with Draw Race 2.
They've not really been away, have they? Just to be contrary.
Well, what was their last one?
Well, they did Monster Trucks Nitro, didn't they?
Really? Oh, yeah. That was them, actually. Forgot about that. Yeah. Well, a lot of people just know them from Trials HD. I know them from Reset Generation.
I know them from that game that I forgot about. What they did on the N-Gage?
Reset Generation.
No. The one before
that.
That's
on the N-Gage.
Pathway to Glory. Oh. That was brilliant. The original N-Gage. The original hardware... Taco N-Gage. That was a great game.
Well, anyway, now known as the Trials HD developers, Red Lynx bring Draw Race 2. Racing Evolved.
No, it looks good, that doesn't it?
Yeah, it does look good.
Yeah, but it's with Chilingo, not EA. Remember, I mean, it's kind of.
Oh yeah, it's Chilingo. Yeah. That's actually very good for my next link.
Your chums, aren't they? Yeah. So we're here.
Well, yeah, yes. Yeah, well, I don't know really how to react to that. Yes, I went down to Chilingo today and had a look at their spring lineup. Okay, yeah, I saw quite a few games. I'm not going to talk about Spider Jack because I not right now. No,
it is. It's well, no,
sorry, no.
Spider Jack's out.
I know. I meant I'm not going to talk about it now.
Ow.
So I'm going to talk about it later on what we've been playing. Because I've completed it already. Let's talk about. Okay, so yeah, I saw a couple of games. Well, more than a couple, quite a few. So first one I saw was Quiz Climber, which is the new one from Relentless Software, which is the makers of Buzz. There's quite a lot of Buzz games. But yeah, they're known for the Buzz series. So as you can probably guess from the name and the heritage, it's a quiz game. It's quite an interesting looking one. It's a freemium title where it's integrated into. It wasn't very specific on what sort of social networks, but it's all about competing against your friends, trying to answer 50 increasingly hard questions, and climbing up a tree as your cartoon squirrel.
A cartoon squirrel.
They're quite interesting. They had some quite intriguing ideas. They had a weekly resetting leaderboard, sort of on the fly analysis of what questions are harder than others, by looking at the stats and stuff like this, so they could readjust it, so that the 50 questions grows in difficulty. You get the way it works is that you get lifelines which you can pay for or you can earn as you go through the game, which is where they're going to try and make their money. But they were very, very happy with iOS development, though. It's a new set of challenges, is a quote I got here that I haven't put into my news article. But they found it quite liberating. Takes us back to games development 10 to 15 years ago.
Wonder if they make any money.
Don't know. I mean, it's quite a nice looking game. It's very polished. I'm going to use that word a lot, by the way. I'm warning you all. I'm pretty certain that all the games I describe in this next 5 minutes are going to have polished. But yes, it's interesting. I want to see how the social element really works, because that will make or break this game.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Storm in a Teacup was the next game I saw, which is a sort of old school, a classic platform game, as it's been described by the makers, which are, I think it's Cobra Mo.
Cobra, yeah.
And you play a guy called Storm who's in a teacup. it's a pretty simple sort of platform game where you jump up, move left, right. You can keep pressing the jump button and it'll propel him a little bit higher. There's some physics-based puzzling in there. It looks nice. The music is kind of annoying. But yeah, there looks like lots of levels. I think there's 40. And it's coming out 19th of May as a Universal build as well. It looks interesting. It looks fairly sort of traditional, but nicely done. And also I saw very quickly, I'll go through these, Dark, which I did enjoy. That looked good. It's quite an interesting blend of twin stick and sort of story-driven gaming. It's not all... You go into, like, rooms where you'll be given waves of creatures, but then the waves will stop and you won't automatically go to the next room. You sort of walk around, go to the shop, go down the corridor, and then it might change to a 2.5D view with you walking left to right.
What?
It's weird because you go through and then you transition to a new area where you walk through and you can hear the creaking of the ship and, like... Mm. And it sort of tries to set it up a bit more. They've tried to put a bit more context to the waves rather than just bombard you with wave after wave. That's on the iPhone. Probably out June-ish. The soundtrack sounds a bit like, you know those bits in The Matrix where it went... like that. It does that a lot. So if you can
those
imagine,
bits. I remember those bits.
Well, you know in the soundtrack.
No, not really.
It's like with trumpets. It's a little crescendo.
I think you should do that again.
No, I don't think I should. I also saw Saving Moo, which is due for late May. And it's tower defense, but it's very odd. It's very weird tower defense. It's with cows grazing, and they crap out like bags of grass. She then used to buy some weird weapons, like strapping a chicken to their backs, and then as the UFOs come down and try and abduct them, and they use their weapons to defend against. It looks quite good, actually.
Sounds different, anyway.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting approach. Interesting. This one was one where I actually saw some of the Crystal version 2 in effect, called the Super Cow, which is basically like a rip off of the Mighty Eagle. Which you only get if you gift supercars to enough of your friends on Crystal. Then you'll get a supercar to earn yourself.
But you have to pay to gift them, presumably, do you?
Not sure. I didn't delve into that aspect.
Well, the whole point of the Mighty Eagle is you buy him, don't you? I mean, that's the whole thing Rovio are trying to do. They're trying to get more than a dollar out of people for buying Angry Birds.
Don't get a dollar. They get 60p.
Oh, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know. Yes, I didn't go into it. I'm sorry, John.
No, can I be controversial? I mean, no one cares about Crystal anyway, so I don't know why they're bothering.
I don't have any friends on Crystal, so what do I do?
I can't remember my Crystal password, so I don't bother.
No one uses Crystal. The only reason it has user base is because of Angry Birds. Sorry.
Another game I saw was Red Ball 3, which I didn't think was very good.
Red Ball.
Oh. As in a bouncing ball.
Did you see Dream Track Nation? What's happened to that one?
It's been put back a bit. I did ask about that. That's been moved back to summer release.
I still do find it weird that Chinlingo just put out still just vast amounts of these games that kind of like a little bit like... Isn't it? It's like a little bit like, oh yeah, there's a cow defense game. There's a tower defense game where you play cows, and there's a like, I mean, it could be, obviously they could be great. I'm not seeing it, but you just kind of,
it's not a very usual tower defense game, I'd say that.
But if it's like, you know, if you can do that and like 5 minutes later we can do like their squeaky mouse game, you kind of think, oh, that'd be interesting. But if it's just like some developer from Eastern Europe who just go, oh, we do tower defense game with cows and UFOs. I mean, it's kind of, you know, some people like that, but it's basically, I mean. I don't know. I really don't understand.
No, I would say the worst one. I mean, okay, let me just try and picture what Red Ball 3 is about, okay? You're a ball, you're red, and you've got to roll to the left-hand side to the right-hand side of the level. only it's impossible to land on a flipping platform because your ball is running off momentum. So it's like you move slightly too far to the right, then you won't be able to make a jump. There's platforms which are all based on physics, so if you slightly get them wrong the first time, you're never going to recover. It's also got, like, it's 20 levels, and it's extremely hard. I don't see how anyone could enjoy it.
Doesn't this presume that there's been Red Ball 1
yeah,
and Red Ball 2?
Yeah, Red Ball 1 and 2 have been out on the PC only.
Oh, I see. Okay, it's not so bad.
And this is the first iOS version of it, and I'm intrigued to know just if the PC version is quite as vicious as that, because I mean, it was pretty impossible.
I mean, I don't know.
The other one I saw very quickly was Spoing.
Oh, blooming Spoing. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's another one I'm not particularly excited about. To be fair, though, that whole drawing lines for you to land in, that didn't seem actually to be a major thing in the game. I played a few levels from the early part, and I played one which was like four levels from the end. I think it was level 36. Mm. I didn't have to draw any extra things.
Because it's mixing up two different genres, isn't it? There's the wire bouncing one that's been done really well in, like, you know, Parachute Ninja and stuff. Which is, you can make a really great game doing that, but if you kind of like, because you place them in just the right places for it to be hard or, you know, challenging. But if you do that and then you can draw them, then that obviously completely destroys the level design, doesn't it? You just draw them wherever you want to. So, you know, it's like, what was that stupid game that THQ did where you could go, what was it? Red Faction. And the whole thing is, oh, you can just blow up any wall. And then, of course, you get to it and you can, half the walls you can't blow up because it completely destroys the level design. I mean, it's, you know, that kind of stuff is almost, that's how game development, that's how designers, you know, it's almost impossible to balance those things. If you have loads of freedom, then you don't get good game design. So, you know.
Well, I was kind of hoping, you see, I took the opposite point of view. I was kind of hoping I'd be given a bit of, it's a bit more free, but in fact, it's just a basic pinging platform thing.
I had a thought there. I wonder what my thought was. It's kind of gone again. Oh, what about Swords and Soldiers?
Yeah, I asked about it. Didn't have it to show. Mm. Unfortunately, again, that's been put back. So, again, summer. Unfortunately.
Well, that and Dark are the ones. Dream Track Nation are the big ones, aren't they?
Yeah, Dream Track looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my roundup. Of course, I'll talk about Spider-Jack in a bit. But yeah, that's the news, I think. Yes, it is. Okay. I think we should go on to what we've been playing, Fields.
Okay. What we've been playing!
You alright with that, Keith?
I'm happy with that. Oh, are you talking to me?
No. Only joking, of course.
You got to get to grips with this podcast stuff, Keith.
I know. I keep listening to it like a listener. I'm just hearing you two waffle on and thinking it's not live.
Can we hook him up with some sort of electric shock button thing? We can just like, ooh, and he's like, every so often he keeps going, ooh, and that's like his cue to say something.
Yeah, I'll be for that. That's two votes for. okay. Well, welcome to the what we've been playing, Fields. I think Keith should go first.
Well, I've been playing with you.
I beg your pardon.
I've been playing against you, I guess is probably the way I should
put it. Ah, yes. I know the game that you're about to talk about.
Yeah, what's it called? Pros with Bros,
yo.
Yeah. How what's the protocol here? How much am I allowed to say about a game that we haven't actually published the review of yet?
Well, you can say what you like, as long as your review doesn't come out and say exactly the opposite.
All right, no, yes, it's not very good. It's like, well, I mean, I've never played Words with Friends, but I'm told it's a bit like Words with Friends. But the idea is, you have a collection of slightly suggestive, smutty words, and you have to construct a slightly dirty, or peculiar sounding sentence out of them against someone else, and then everyone votes on which is the most odd or.
What's it called again, Keith?
Pros with Bros. Yeah, It's amusing at first, if only because the guy reads them out, and it's always slightly amusing to hear someone reading out something which sounds a bit daft. But then after a while, you can't actually construct decent sentences half the time, and it just ends up being a load of words about lederhosen and grandmas and cream and
beef juice, and the midgets.
It loses all appeal after a while when you realise that they haven't actually put much thought into the words that are on offer, and then half of it doesn't work either. The way the voting is done, half the time it doesn't display, and if anyone drops out the game, you can't get rid of it, and it's just a bit naff, really. But harmless if you like messing around.
Doesn't sound harmless to me.
it annoyed me for half an hour, but you know, most things do. And I beat Will two times out of three, I think it was.
So. Yeah, my third one was amazing, though.
Yeah, well, you actually thought about that for too long, yeah. And I got to it and just kind of thought, oh, well, you know, I've got more important things to be doing. So
I even made it so the guy reading out the text paused at the right moment.
Well, yeah, no, that you see there, that's quite a nice bit. The idea that you can, I mean, there's no punctuation, but you can kind of put pauses in so you kind of says something else afterwards, but it's just all a bit quick. If they put a bit of thought into it, it could be quite a nice idea, but they've just gone through the dictionary, picked out a load of naff words and shoved them in and thought, oh, it's going to sound a bit like a carry-on joke or something. So it's a bit, yeah, I wasn't too pleased with that. But then I've also been playing, well, another game I wasn't too pleased with, actually. Soccer Superstars 2011 Pro, which I played the first one of, which is, it's like arcade football with kind of Japanese kind of special moves.
Korean. So
It's
Korean, isn't it? Not Japanese, are they?
Well, you know what I mean. I'm generalizing.
Very upset.
It has the look of, you know, one of them Japanese cartoons. It's not my area of expertise. But the idea is you play what is essentially quite a simple game of football, and then if your gauges are high enough, you can implement like a special shot which turns the screen black and it flies into the goal, or you can do stupid moves like teleportation.
Sounds a lot like Nintendo World Cup.
Well, the problem is that's all well and good, as was with the last one, and you kind of, you know, if you watch a trailer, it actually looks quite interesting, but they haven't actually remembered that there has to be a decent game of football underneath it all, and the AI on it is pretty useless, and I'm saying much worse than review did, but sometimes it's just the defense kind of just disappears and the goalie will randomly come out for balls that he doesn't need to go, and then you lose a goal, and it, you know, if the football isn't there, then it doesn't really matter about the rest because you end up losing matches you shouldn't. So it's just a bit, and the menu systems are awful. You can't really get from one option to the next. It just misreads your kind of input, so it's a bit annoying, and it has some really garish music on it. So yeah, I've had a really good week, actually. It's been pretty typical week on Pocket Gamer, so there you go.
Well, I will take the next couple of games. I've been playing this week. Let's start with Spider-Jack, because that's new out. And I haven't yet written the review. But I have written the headline, well, the heading. I've written Spider-Jack at the top of my Word document and sitting there. And I've given it the subheading, Create the Rope. Because it's cut the rope again, only it's not as good. Spider-Jack is essentially just it's really odd because it's published by Chillingo. It's not by Zepto Labs, obviously, but it does feel a bit like someone cloning Cut the Rope and adding a few tiny extra elements to it. It's got basically you play the spider. The idea is to pick up 3 stars and land on the fly. And you do this by tapping on these coloured circles, which then creates a rope. Sorry, I mean a web thing. And after a second, Spider-Jack starts climbing up towards the peg, which looks nothing like the pegs in the Cut the Rope. And then you swipe your finger across the rope web to cut it. And there are items such as bubbles. I wonder, can you guess what the bubble does, you guys?
Bubble I couldn't things. Say. Well, for fear of lawyers, I couldn't say.
Exactly. and there's also teleports. Yep. yeah. It's basically...
This is Chillingo.
It's Tilinga, yeah.
They're the publisher, aren't they? They're the publisher.
They're the publisher. Yeah, it's not bad, but the problem is, it's just feels a bit like I've done this all before. The only thing I can say is that it does put a different sort of emphasis on how you think about a level, because it's not quite so down and then up as with Cut the Rope, but not in a good way, because Spider-Jack sort of climbs his web, but he always takes a second after creating the web to climb it. So once you've flung out the bit of silk and attached it, he'll start swinging, and then all of a sudden, mid-swing, he'll start climbing up. And that's quite annoying when you're trying to get to a star, because you can swing in perfectly level with the star. He starts swinging in, and then he'll just climb up. It's like, stop, don't avoid the star. You're meant to keep picking up the star, you bastard. And I got you just right, just at the right level. And then when you need him to move up quickly, because I don't know why, but the game's picks electric gates for its equivalent of spikes, and electric gates turn on and off. And remember, Spider-Jack takes a second after making his web before starting climbing. The gates turn off for about 2 and a bit seconds at a time, maybe 3. So unless you get your timing absolutely dead perfect from creating the web, then you'll often just walk him into an electric gate while he's busy climbing up. It's kind of annoying, that. So yes, it's basically Cut the Rope, but it's not as good. And it's not as charming, and it's not as well designed. So don't, you know, unless you're really desperate for Cut the Rope-ish sort of game, I wouldn't bother getting it. But, I mean, it's okay. Than I was earlier.
So you went northern for a portion there, so I thought, I knew you were upset.
Did I go northern?
You bastard, he said. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's my Doncaster days coming back.
It's never
Donny
good.
Days, yeah.
Is that a popular word up in Doncaster, I imagine?
No.
Donny.
Donny, yeah.
Donny.
No, yeah, I don't know what score I'm going to give you, but I'm debating. I need to play it again. I've already completed it. And you'll take you about an hour to complete. But then Cut the Rope took about an hour to complete, but that was fun. This one's kind of okay, but I never felt the same.
Is he cute, the spider guy?
Not really, no.
So that was the whole thing about Cut the Rope for me. He looked cute, and if he didn't get his, you know...
Yeah, he did the face.
Looked disappointed and stuff. And
yeah, I know. It's kind of and he made the cool noise and pointed to his mouth when it came there. That was awesome.
Yeah,
doesn't quite do that. The fly blows a raspberry at you if you get near and miss.
Mm. See, I don't think that going back to my current ranting Chilingo thing, they're never going to talk to me again now. if you are Chilingo and you've made a really successful game called Cut the Rope, then you shouldn't be doing clones, should you? You can do clones if they're better, but
that's what I mean. I would have thought that would piss off.
It's not piss off, but and you can kind of think you can cross promote kind of stuff. So if you like, you know, and they kind of did. If you like Angry Birds, you'll like Cut the Rope, and obviously they were kind of different games, but you could kind of understand the same. Yeah. You know, people would like them, you know, because they're both high quality games. But to do it like, it's almost like have. Who's drinking that? Who's that?
It's a more can beer. Of Coke Zero. God damn it! Why are you so accusing?
Thought someone was enjoying themselves.
I am enjoying myself. With a can of Coke Zero. Anyway, continue.
Anyway, no, I lost the thread now. No, it just seems weird. It seems weird. Because I was in America last week, which is why I'm jet lagged. And I saw, I can't remember the name of it, but there's a company similar kind of to Chilingo, but French, I won't go any further, who had literally, it was a fairly kind of Cut the Rope type ripoff. I mean, it was clearly...
Cut Zero? No.
No. I mean, it was a slightly different game mechanic, but basically a cute little thing trying to eat sweets, and that was a bit of physics, you know, and that's kind of fine for me. I think that's kind of fine. It's, you know, it's a rip-off, but they haven't got to cut the ropes. So they want to, you know, as a publisher, they want to kind of fulfill that kind of niche. But to do it kind of that seemed really, really weird to release a bad version of your own successful game.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go as far as to call it bad. I'd just say it's not that great. And it doesn't do anything particularly wrong. It just annoys me with the fact that there's...
It sounds like there's a pretty fundamental design error where there's a second delay that kind of messes everything up. I mean, to me, that seems...
But the weird thing is, though, when it's not reliant on him moving as much, because there are certain puzzles... I'm on the... Like, near the end, you get to a puzzle which is ridiculous. And it's amazingly frustrating. And this is what's freshest in my memory. Right, I'm going to talk about Castle Defense HD, which I reviewed a few days ago. Castle Defense HD is much worse of a clone job than Spider-Jack. It's just one of those terrible Chinese-looking rip-offs. Well, in fact, I say Chinese ripping. I mean, it's based in ancient China, so I'm just guessing.
is it not ancient Korea? Are you sure?
You're definitely ancient China.
You're really so confused by these.
I'm not
easily
confused, thank you very much.
Oh, you're not? Okay.
No, I'm not. Thank you. It's based on the Romance of the Three Kingdoms, which I think you'll find it's about
it's
Han Dynasty in China. Yes, but it's it's effectively Plants vs. Zombies, but with Chinese soldiers and Chinese undead soldiers. I don't get why that is. Sunflowers have been replaced by bread makers. Pea shooters have been replaced by archers. It's all a bit slow. It's all a bit sort of normal. I mean, it wouldn't be quite so bad, I think, my impression of this game, if it weren't for the fact it has an in-app purchase shop in your unit building menu at all times, which you can then tap on and buy more units for real money. Now that sounds fair enough, doesn't it? Okay. I mean, we may not like that, but some people would like that because it gets them out of difficult situations, right? Am I in agreement?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Good. Except that it's too hard. It's like it's been designed specififically to make you go to the shop and buy extra units.
Surely not.
Because it doesn't give you enough time to put down like men to be able to counter the waves. So it's kind of produce enough bread to make enough men to counter the waves. I mean, it's fair enough for the first two stages, but after that, it gets all a bit ridiculous. So yeah, it's a bit cynical. And it's it's got some great translation issues, though. The lightning bolt power is described as the enemy will dead immediately. The enemy will dead immediately. The skill is terrorist.
Terrorist.
That sounds better than pros with bros, to be honest.
I know. That would actually, I would vote for that. If that came up. So don't bother with that. It's not even related to Castle Defense. Non-HD. It's also not an HD game in the fact that it's not on iPad. It's an iPhone only game. So that tells you more than you need to know. John.
What? John's been asleep.
I've been asleep all week.
What games have you been playing in your sleep?
Well, that's...
actually, let's go back.
I've played a little bit of a couple of games. Maybe I can talk about. One that's kind of came out on Thursday, and which is Gears from what are they called? Well, it's been published by Crescent Moon, but it's actually been developed by someone else. What you say?
That was your echo.
Talking to my echo?
Yes.
Talk to my face, not my echo.
You're talking to your echo.
I was talking to my echo. I had a fight with myself in the mirror. What are you looking at?
It was a bit like a man when it's like throwing his echo. What? As he talks.
See, I'm jet lagged. I'm allowed to do. Shall I start that again?
Continue. I'm leaving that in.
Gears, which is a kind of a Marble Madness-y type kind of tilt game, or you can use direct control with your finger, and basically you're moving a ball bearing through these big geared levels, so the gears are moving around and you're picking things up and trying to get through at speed. So it's quite nice. I mean, it's nothing kind of amazingly exciting, I don't think, in terms of the design, but it's very well presented. So that's kind of good. I mean, there's been, you know, a few games like that, hasn't there? There's kind of been, what was that one? I can't remember. There's one that was like one of the top reviewed games of the year last year, wasn't it? That was
Dark
one of those
Nebula.
Dark Nebula, that's the one. I mean, I don't think they sell very well, but I kind of think they're like a genre that's not been particularly kind of mined out. And there's one that it's not actually not out to the end of the month, but I've just I've played it actually at GDC, and I've just got a build, which is called Casey's Contraptions, which is a kind of I guess kind of physics puzzle in a way. It's kind of very kind of done in a very kind of cute way, where it's a kind of like a I guess an 8 year old kind of kid, cartoon kid, and you have various, I mean, they're, as it sounds like, he's called Casey, and the contraptions are these kind of weird situations where you have to kind of get a ball into a box or a balloon into a football, and basically you it's a kind of physics simulation. You press the go button and all the physics in the level kind of works, and you have to kind of place objects in certain ways to get to fulfill the objective. And it's kind of very open-ended, and you can, there's lots of different ways of doing stuff, and you get marks depending on how you do it. And even better than that, it's got a very good leveled editor. So you can also show your solutions to each of the levels, so you can upload them so people can see the different ways people are kind of solving stuff. And it's also a leveled editor. So I've not really played a lot of that, but something definitely that I'm going to look forward to playing some more of.
Well, that's it for the... that's it for this week's podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it all, I know, as much as I have. We'll be back probably next week.
Do we have to?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's in your contract. Actually, no.
Not in my contract. Probably in yours.
No. Well, okay. We will be back next week. We'll have the latest news. We'll have the latest. We'll have the latest reviews, and we'll have stuff as well. Other stuff, talking stuff, chatty stuff. It just leaves me to say thank you to me for hosting, and goodbye. No, I'm only joking. Thank you to John Jordan.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you to Keith Andrew.
Where's the random rumours bit that confuses me?
We're not.
was I not meant to mention that?
Talk about yourselves.
You know that Men in Black star pen that you saw me hold up to the television transmitter earlier?
Oh no, this is going all strange again. Yeah, yes I do.
That was to remove the memory of the rumour miner from the listeners' heads. Now you've just implanted memory. Thank you very much, Keith. Ruined 10 years of research.
I thought maybe we'd removed it in honour of Tracy, I didn't you know. As a mark of respect. Or that you were not very good at your job and you've just forgotten. Yeah, one of the two.
Look, I am not very good at my job, but I resent the other part of that. Anyway, thank you very much for listening, listeners. I'm going to be off to the TV, the local TV network, to hook up my latest contraption. I hope you're all watching TV at 9 p.m. tonight. Watch TV. And I hope you have a pleasant week. We'll see you again next week. Bye bye. Thanks, Keith and John.
Deary me.
Sorry.
Painful, wasn't it?